Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. To the life of great, wonderful people who helped save this church. I am so happy to have known Adair and Nancy and count them my friends and brothers, and I thank the Lord for them. Nancy, on July the 12th, a very special day, heard the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." On the same day, July the 12th in 1952, her little two-year-old baby, Buzzy, as his nickname was in the nursery at the Highland Park Church of Christ here in Dallas while Adair preached. And some person, they have no idea who, was a carrier of meningitis and went in and picked the baby up, and the baby caught meningitis and was at worship one Sunday and buried the next Sunday. And so their little baby was taken to be with the Lord on July the 12th. That became a special day for them, and don't you know how that must have ruined Christmas for them all of them years, for years and years. And July the 12th in 2013, Adair received his glory. He went to be with the Lord. And on the very same day, July the 12th, 2020, Nancy graduated from the flesh to the spirit and went to be with the Lord. How wonderful the providence of God. I came here to this church in 1993. I had lost $1 million. I had had an environmental engineering company, and my wife went 9 times in a diabetic coma to the hospital. I had a heart attack trying to take care of her. And I went and sit right where Kyle was sitting on the back row and just wanted to go to heaven. I came to church and just wanted to go to heaven. And I met Adair and Nancy. They were visiting in. I placed my membership here, and I became the janitor, and I became the cook and associate minister. I was a Sunday school teacher. And Adair and Nancy were a team. They were visiting. Their membership was at White Rock, but they would keep coming here because they were poor people and down-and-out people here, and they were attracted to those type of people. They had I had been here probably a year or so, and the preacher here was fired for he took $40,000 from a widow. And the elders who fired him, that I became the preacher then, but the elders who fired him were really problem people too. Everybody knew that they were bad apples, but there was no proof of it. There was obvious signs about it. We wanted to feed the poor. Several of us did. And so I asked them, I said, can we feed the poor? And they said, well, who's going to pay for it? And I said, we'll pay for it ourselves. God will give us some money. And so we started feeding the poor, and that's one of the first things that we began to do here. And so these elders, I talked to them, and I said, look, I have a terrible reputation. I'm a prodigal son. You have a terrible reputation in the brotherhood. Let's get two really respected men in here to serve with y'all as elders. Adair Chapman comes here and visits. He's been coming here for a year or two visiting. Let's get him to be an elder with y'all. He's well respected throughout the brotherhood. And let's get Don Horn. He's a big member of Sojourners, and he works hard, and his wife's World Bible School. Let's get them to come here and serve with y'all. And so they agreed to that. And so they came, and Adair, they pitched right in and began to help feed the poor. I remember one of the first people that Nancy got onto and helped encourage was Sean. And Sean was a tall, lanky black lady that I met her down at Fred Vaughn's scrapyard. He had a scrapyard. And I saw two drunks laying over in a yard across the street, a vacant lot, and a guy knocked the girl down. And I said, you see that, Fred? He said, oh, you hadn't seen nothing yet. And in a minute, she gets up, and she knocks him down. And he gets up, and he knocks her down. And so she laid there a few minutes, and then she got up and hit him with a board. And so this went on, Sean, we had shown her love and fed her out the kitchen window and stuff, and she came in here on a Sunday night, and Nancy encouraged her, one of the first to encourage her. She was a lady of the evening. She'd been on the street since she was 8 years old. You can imagine the amount of times that she'd been abused and used and lied to and conned and hustled over the years. And it's amazing. She became a Christian. She stopped all that, sobered up, died in faith. The doctors, she was in the hospital at Baylor, and they said she's not going to make it. She's got cirrhosis of the liver from back years ago when she drank. And would you tell her? We really don't want to tell her. And so I went in and told her, Sean, you're going to go be with the Lord. They can't do anything for you. And she cried, and I cried, and she died right over here in Dallas Rehab Hospital, where Christiana's going to in the next few weeks. So one of those elders who had been a bad elder got us sued. He took a job selling or leasing computers, and he leased a computer in the name of this church and a copy machine in the name of this church for $500 a month apiece, and you could buy a computer for $500 in those days for 5 years. And he took that paper and went to his boss, and his boss gave him $20,000 a commission on a sale, and then sold the paper up to a company up in Minnesota that buys paper, and now this church is getting sued for $120,000. Well, this guy was a big business tycoon anyway, and he went to prison. Don Horn, one of the good elders, moved to Houston, leaving Adair Chapman and one of the bad elders was left. And just before a Sunday morning worship service, I was just fixing to walk up here to preach. Adair called me and the other elder in the back room in the back, and he said, I'm going to walk right out of this room, and I'm going to walk right to the front of the church, and I'm going to resign now in order to throw this church into congregational government so it'll be one man, one vote. And the other elder said, no, give me a week. Let me get another elder in here where we can keep running it the way it is. And Adair said, no, you're the very reason that I'm doing this, so you can't get another elder in here. Adair was a God's man. He was known for speaking up. He was small in stature, but a giant for God in a knight in shining armor for this church. He walked down to the front of the church here and told the church that he resigned. Then I came up here and began, and I asked that the preachers and the deacons come forward, and I asked all the baptized members of the church, please stand, and I said, if you would appoint the preachers and the deacons and Adair as trustees of this congregation, then we can carry on and go, and the church will have some direction and leadership. And so the church approved that. That gave us the ability to go down the next day and ask for copies. I went down with a legal document, drew up a corporate resolution, went down to the bank, and I said, I'd like the front and the back of all the checks for the last 3 months of Main Street Church of Christ, and they had 1 month. And so here's a check that these two elders made out to themselves, signed it on the bottom, and signed it on the back and cashed it. One of them for $16,998, one for $7,500, one for $20,000, one for $30,400, one for $1,000. I wonder why they wasted their time with that. One for $887, and one for $20,000. With this church had got given two estates, the V. Willie estate and the Darden estate. And so they got all the money. And so we began with nothing, and we settled a lawsuit, got out of the lawsuit. God delivered us. Matt, that's another story. And Nancy was a great encourager, and I think that she taught my wife to be a great encourager, and Nancy prayed, and she praised people, and my wife began to meet people back here at the back door when they came in, and all the homeless people loved her because she really loved them and loved those type of poor down-and-out people and encouraged them to get up and do better and reach higher and repent and turn your life around. Nancy would go around to grocery stores and get the bakery department to save her all the cakes as they came out of date and would bring cakes here every Sunday. And she would stay downstairs and wash dishes until we were through. One of the first ones here and one of the last ones to leave. The trustees called me in one day. We had a meeting, and they said, what would you take for a salary? And I said, I'd really rather let God pay me. I'd rather not take a salary. But I tell you what I would like. I'd like to multiply what I'm doing. I'd like to multiply the amount of people that we can reach. I'd like to get a radio program. They said, what do you think that costs? And I said, about $800 a month. And they said, well, you know, we don't have money like that. And I said, I know that, but why don't we decide that the first $800 that comes out of nowhere, that's what we'll do with it. We'll get a radio program. And they said, well, yeah, that's fine. That next Sunday, a woman came in after the service. She said, you preach a real conservative Bible lesson. She said, if I have been a member of a church out in North Dallas, and they're becoming liberal, and I'd like to, if I came over here and placed my membership, what would my contribution be used for? And I said, what would you like it to be used for? And she said, I'd like evangelism is one of the things I'm interested in, is evangelism. And I said, well, we had decided to get a radio program if any money ever came from out of nowhere. And she said, well, my contribution will be $800 a month. God can do anything with nothing and nobody. And he often sends wonderful people to help him do it. His servant Adair and Nancy Chapman helped us. And that's how we began our radio program. I have a positive attitude. And Adair had a positive attitude. He believed onward and upward and more and more and more. One radio program isn't enough. And so we got on in Nashville, and then we got on in Abilene, and we got on in Oklahoma City, and then Searcy. And then Searcy lost, the program changed their format. They went to a rock and roll station or something, and we lost the Abilene station, too, so we went to Abilene to Worldwide Christian Radio, and we began to broadcast to Africa and to Europe. And after 3 or 4 years, I guess, we're broadcasting 10 international broadcasts to the world, and there's no money in that. That was one of the first things we decided. We were not going to hustle money, and we weren't going to beg and ask people for money. God will supply all that he wants us to do. And so we got the opportunity then in 2016 to double our broadcast. We were doing 10 international broadcasts, and we got to go to 20 international broadcasts December the 12th. In 2015, I thought what a wonderful day that was going to be. And the devil is alive and well, and that morning Ginger went to the hospital, my wife, and in an ambulance and caught a super virus, and it took about a year for her to die. When I got here to preach, the rats had got in the downstairs in the storage department and tore everything up, all our utensils that we use to feed and to the paper plates and cups and things. It was insane. Only demonic influences could do things of that nature. Only the devil could do things of that nature. There is a power on earth, but God is much, much greater than the power of the devil. We still went to 20 international broadcasts. Adair had a stroke, and he had been so close to me and so close to confidant that I talked with him about everything. I did nothing without consulting the people and the trustees here. I didn't want to be a pope, didn't want to look like a pope. And so we did things by consensus. We all agreed. Adair had a stroke, and I would go over and report to him in the nursing home how things were going, and it was a pleasure to do that. Jan was with, I've never known a daughter or a child who took care of her mother and her dad like Jan did. She deserves praises. She was there every day, almost all days with her dad and with her mom while they spent the latter part of their years taking care of them, being with them, being positive to them and good to them. It's a wonderful thing. Jan, I'm kind of hard hearing, and I couldn't understand what Adair was saying sometimes. But Jan was there every day, and she could understand what he was trying to say. And so it was getting really close to the time for him to pass. And I called Jan, and I said, can I bring the singers out and us sing and to Adair? And she said, yeah, that'd be great. And so Eric came, and Dan Van Hooser came, and Bernie Wood and I came, and we came. And so we sang a couple of songs, and we said, would you like to lead one, Adair? And he got the songbook, and I don't know if you've ever seen anything like it. Sometimes before people pass, they have a brightening. They're healed. And he led this song like he was in the pulpit, swinging his arms, and every word was pronounced perfect. One of those old Stamps Baxter four-part harmony songs. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. I'll never forget it. And I'll never forget them for what they've saved and how they saved this church. Nancy, after Adair passed, Nancy was home for a while and then wound up in the same nursing home that Adair was in. And I'd continued to visit her through the years, and she, we now have 27 international broadcasts and 8 here in the United States. We depend on God to send the money, and then he sends the opportunity. It's amazing. God always sends the money, and then he sends the opportunity. God sent us a little extra money, and then I get a call from a station in California that's their churches are going broke out there, and they need advertisers, and they need people to buy radio time. And he said I'd put y'all on for $350 a week. And I said, no, my trustees wouldn't allow me to spend anything over $50 a week. And he said, well, I couldn't do that. And I said, but we'd pay you the rest of the year if you did. And he said, we could do that. Now we can. So now we broadcast to Sodom and Gomorrah on the Pacific, to San Francisco, Oakland, and the Bay Area. We continue to feed the poor and out the kitchen window, even though we have the plague here. The Apostle Paul, let's think about the joy that Jesus says, enter into the joy of the Lord. Think about that joy of the Lord that must have happened that day on December 12th when she got to see Buzzy again and Adair again and meet God face to face. Oh, how wonderful it'll be to graduate and be there and see the people. He did hundreds of funerals. One year he did 284, wasn't it, in a year, funeral. Just imagine how many people he sent before him that's waiting for us up there. We've buried 1,000 here. It's amazing. I'll be glad to see them all. The Apostle Paul says, for no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest in that day, for it shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. I'm sure that Nancy's work came through the fire, and she's now rejoicing. Brother Eric Jenkins is going to come and tell us of his memories of Nancy And then Adair's brother is going to come and help finish our closing. Thank you so much for sending your family and y'all coming to and being a part of Main Street Church of Christ. Brother Eric Jenkins.
Good to see everybody here, and I am so thankful for this opportunity to be able to talk about my sister, Nancy, my friend. And back in 1995 is when I came over here. I heard these guys on the radio, and I'd been here in 1988 as a rebel living in East Dallas. And I came over here as a dare. I put on my clothes, my rough street clothes, and I looked pretty wild when I got here. And I said, if these people here at Main Street, if they accept me, I'll stay in the church. But if they reject me because of the way I look, I'm going to leave. And I'm going to serve the devil full time. Because I had one foot in the church, one foot in the world. But I was wanting to go in the world 100% of the time. I came here, guess what? They accepted me. They didn't care what I looked like. And this is back in 88, and they had Brother Scoggins here, which was an elder. And he came the next day knocking on my door, thanking me for being here. And that was the thing that kept me going. A strong man of God, elder. Adair was that way as well. And Nancy was his wife. And you understand, when you have a strong man of God, you need to have a strong woman to be his wife. And Nancy was definitely that, okay? She held her own. And I was so blessed because I came back in 1995. And then in 96, I was baptized here, really baptized for the first time. And then I was already starting to teach and be an associate minister here, and we started worshiping every night. We would come here. We decided to do Acts 5:42, and they met together for three months straight. So we're thinking, well, we don't know how we're going to do it because it's going to be very expensive. That electric bill was like $500, and we were a small group of people, and we didn't have that much money. And we're like, well, I don't know, but, you know, people have kids and you have to work and you've got to get the kids to school. How are we going to sit here and meet every single night at 7 o'clock every day? And for a whole 3 months, that's a long time. Well, we did it. So we prayed about it. We said, you know what, we're not going to worry about the money. We're not going to worry about anything. We're going to put it in God's hands. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, right? And so we decided to go ahead and do that. We said we're going to go ahead and put it there. We prayed about it. All of a sudden, we started doing it, and it was beautiful. And we got stronger and stronger because we were seeing our brothers and sisters edifying. I'm going to throw that word out there because we know Nancy knew a lot about that. And she was 100% about that. Edification. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as you're called to do so. Why are we not to forsake the assembling of ourselves? We need to edify one another. We have to show love toward one another, and we can't do it if we're not here. And this pandemic has been very challenging, separating us as brothers and sisters. And so at that time, we decided that 3 months just flew by. And then all of a sudden, we had all these preachers coming every single night, strong men of God, Adair and Nancy came here to support us. I was in the school of preaching here, and that's how I got my education, is right here at Main Street, through these wonderful preachers, Brother Kelly, Brother Bass, Brother Connors, and Adair was helped us so much, and I learned a lot from him, so I'm a student. I can say I'm a student of Adair. Adair Chapman. he helped to put me on the road to becoming an associate minister and helping me to be the guy that I am today. He's an encourager. He basically, if I was feeling bad about myself, he always found something positive about my message, my delivery. And he would always say, don't worry, no, you did fine. You did a good job. I'm beating myself up. Sometimes we can be our worst enemies. And I just thought of myself as the lowest one because I had people like Brother Kelly and Brother Bass and Connors that really knew that word, and I was starting off. And so I felt so inadequate. I felt like I was in a race where I was outmatched. You know, I didn't think I should do this. And Kelly was like, no. He kept encouraging me, you can do this. And Adair would always look me straight in the face. And he would tell me, he says, no, you're doing fine. And then he would explain how my message came across. He would always explain, Eric, it's not about you. It's about the word. It's the word of God that has the power. You know, so don't worry about it. He says, you put the word out there. Let the word do all the work. And so that was a start of a man that helped to encourage me. And his wife, Nancy, would later on just completely encourage me. A lot of times when I would look in the mirror, I wasn't happy with what I saw. But I would come to church, and when Nancy was here, Nancy would grab your hands, and she'd look you right in the face, and she'd shake her head, and she'd say, you're so handsome. You're just so handsome. You're a handsome man, Eric. Well, I may not have been handsome to anybody else on the earth, but I was handsome to Nancy, and that's all that mattered at that time. And she really made me feel so good, and she encouraged me, and she was another one that edified me and helped me to know that you're doing fine. I love the way you preach. You're a good preacher. And I'm just shaking my head, you know, like, no, because I'm comparing myself to these other preachers, you know. And she was like, no, you're doing fine. And Adair and Nancy were always good as far as education, and that's why I knew what I was dealing with. I mean, someone who was involved in the college, a Christian college, who made sure it was integrated because they loved all people. And when there was a assisted living facility that they helped to organize and get going, guess what? They wanted to make sure it was integrated as well. And so there was a lot of love and compassion from both of them. And I got a chance to experience that for almost 25 years, and it was such an honor. And later on in life, when Nancy wasn't feeling so good, and she would, and here's Jan, and she would be bring her in. She eventually was on her walker, and I'm telling you, that gives you strength. When you know someone's not feeling well at all, because sometimes Jan would say, I don't think Mother's going to be able to make it. She's not really feeling good. And then I would look out the door, and there they were. Jan getting the walker and everything, and bigger than she was. And she's getting Mother out, and she's just a wonderful, wonderful daughter. And here they were. And when she walked in the door, Nancy walks in the door, both of them, she has her mother's smile in her eyes as well. When you see Jan, you'll notice that she has a twinkle in her eye. She got that from her mother, and when she smiles, it brightens up a city. And that's the way her mother Nancy was. And whenever she's told you she loved you, she meant it. She was very brutally honest, and that's what I loved so much about her. So whatever she said about me, I knew it was true, because that's just the way she was. She didn't know any other way to be, but just honest. And she was very strong. And she looked you dead in your eye, and she would tell you what she thought. And we had a lot of laughs. We laughed. She was my friend. She was my confidant. I could talk to her, and she always encouraged me. And when she was in the nursing home, we'd go and visit. And again, she'd go, oh, look, there he is. There's my boyfriend. You know, she's like, isn't he handsome? Jan, isn't he handsome? And I'm like, okay. You know, and I'm like, but I just loved her to death. And we could never, every time we got together, it was fun. We're praising God. We're singing. And she was always full of encouragement. And if you went there and you felt down, you went there to encourage her. Well, guess what? She encouraged you. You left there being encouraged yourself. And I never will forget, she told me, she says, she said, Eric, when are you going to preach again? And I said, oh, I'm going to be on the roster for such and such date. She says, we're going to be there. And then Janet was like, okay, if mother's feeling well, we'll be there, you know, because she's always very protective. She doesn't, just in case they don't show, we understand that mother just wasn't feeling good. Well, they did show. And normally they sit in the back so that if Nancy's not feeling so good, they can go ahead and leave out without any disturbance. But this particular time, for some reason, they sit up in the front. And Nancy had already told me, she says, Eric, you know you're my friend, right? I said, yeah, I'm your brother, yeah. And she had this confused look on her face, and she shook her head. Well, she let it go. And then this particular day when she came to see me and she was in the front row, she says, Eric, you know you're my friend, right? I said, yeah, I'm your brother in Christ. She says, no, come here. she grabbed my hand and she says, you're my friend. She says, I have a lot of people in my life and a lot of people that I love dearly, and I only have so many friends. She says, but I made room for you. You are my friend. You understand? Now I finally understood. And she meant that. That was something very special because so many people loved her and she had so many people in her life. There was only a little area in her life that she had room for at her age to squeeze in another friend. And I was one of those. And that's how beautiful she was and how much she edified me. And I just loved her dearly, still love her, because we know that she's living eternally. And she was an encouragement to us. And I think about in the Bible, you go throughout the Bible, and yes, we're told to love God. And then we're told to what? Love one another, always. That is the key. You cannot get through the Bible without seeing that. Love one another. Love your brother and sister. We have to love one another. If you can't love your brother and your sister that you can see, how can you love a God that you cannot see? And so it always go back to that, showing love to each other. And she was full of love. And see, Nancy, now, Jan and myself talked, we have to carry the torch now, right? All of us who are left behind. When Adair passed away, I could see that on Kelly. I could see that on Kelly. It was almost like all of these things that we would depend on Adair for, Adair's not here anymore. Scoggins is not here anymore. Kelly is now that guy. And I could see that change in Brother Kelly. And now that they're not here, it's another change. They have passed the baton. They have gone on to glory. I know, and I'll conclude with this, that Nancy stayed here, and she probably prayed that God would give her extra time because Jan was not ready. Jan was not ready for her mother to leave, and she stayed here. But she secretly wanted to go. She was ready to go, and she told us that. But I knew, and all of us knew why she stayed. And it was beautiful that she did that. But when it was time, she had to tell her daughter. She says, I love you. I'm going to go. I am ready to go. And she says, goodbye. Raised her hand, wiggling her fingers to one side of the room. She said goodbye to another side of the room. Goodbye to another corner of the room. Goodbye. Four goodbyes. And four is the number of man. We're bound by north, south, east, and west. You see, Nancy was saying goodbye to the earthly rim as she embraced the spiritual rim. And so she taught a lesson. She did a job well done. Well done, my faithful servant. She set the example, and now it's up to us to look at the lesson that was set for us by Adair and Nancy and to be better brothers and sisters because we had an opportunity to know them. And I know that I'm a better person because of my friend Nancy and Adair and Jan and John. I'm so glad to have you with us as well. And I have another sister as well, Gilda, right? Gilda's my sister as well, and my friend. And all of you guys, I love you dearly, and it's a pleasure to see all of you again. And let us all remember our sister Nancy, and let us be better people because of knowing her. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Kelly, and all of you for the invitation to say just a few words today as we prepare to close the service. This has been a tremendous encouragement to me, and what Brother Kelly has shared with you and Brother Eric has been such an inspiration that it would have just been great for them to go right ahead. But I'm glad to be here, and I thank you for your presence. We want to thank and welcome all of those who are in virtual assemblies around the world. And Adair and Nancy were so involved here, and that was an encouragement to me. And of course, I've learned what an inspiration their presence was to you. Adair and Nancy worked as a team, and they sought everywhere they went to do something that I'm afraid many are not taught today to do, and that is to build up the church. These two men preceding me have perfectly described their work of building up the church. And Adair knew from his studies of Ephesians chapter 4 that the work of evangelists and teachers was to build up the body of Christ. And of course, it's so helpful where others join in and have the same disposition. I will always be thankful for the encouragement that Adair gave to me in my getting started in the ministry. In a large measure, it was through his encouragement that I did that. Adair was preaching over at the Highland Park Church of Christ, and he and Nancy invited me to come out about the summer of 1952, live with them, and work in Dallas. And I mean work. I had come off the farm and was accustomed to work. But one of the places where Adair took me was to the beginning of construction on the old Texas Power and Light warehouse on North Greenville. And they were just beginning and digging footers for the foundation of that building. And another fellow and I were wanting a job so bad. We both needed a job, and yet the overseer of the project said, "I don't believe you can take the heat. I'd love to give you a job, but I don't believe you can take the heat." I said, "I came off of a South Georgia farm, and I know the heat of the fields." The other boy said, "I came off of a ranch in some place out in West Texas, and I know what it is to work in the heat." We literally begged him for a job, and he gave us a job. And as he did so, he handed each of us a 40-pound air hammer. I had never run an air hammer, but that was what he gave us. But he gave us one other thing that probably saved us in the terrible heat of the summer of 1952. He gave us a word of encouragement. And he said, "The only way you will work here and survive this heat is if every 15 or 20 minutes you go to the water cooler. You don't have to take long, but you drink 6 or 8 ounces of water at every visit to the water cooler, and you may just make it through. That advice no doubt saved us. But what I really wanted to say was, sitting at the feet of Adair, at the old Highland Park building, was quite a course in ministry for me. And I learned far more in that course than any course I had in school, because I was able to see firsthand how he worked, how he worked with people, and how he and Nancy related to people. Yesterday, through the honor given to me by Jan, I spoke at the celebration of Nancy's life, and that was a very nice celebration. And I tried to point out that Nancy was not just a random soul, but a very particular, a very special, a very unique lady. And what has been said today bears out every word of that, does it not? And then I tried to point out her protective love for her family, for her children, for Jan, for Buzz, for Larry, and for her husband. And I gave some examples there that I'll not go into now. But then in closing, I mentioned the passionate interest and love for the Word. I haven't known any other person to have a deeper passion for the Word of God. And I think I use the passage from Psalms where the psalmist said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." All of these things remind me, and of what Brother Kelly said and what Brother Eric has said, and no doubt many of you know and feel about Nancy. Reminds me that we've all been so blessed by the grace of God in having that association and that relationship. I'm afraid we don't always appreciate the grace of God as we should. We saw the grace of God in Nancy and Adair. We see the grace of God in this church, through its ministry in behalf of the poor, and through its work of evangelism. And that reminds me of Barnabas, who went to a place where Paul had preached the gospel, and the scripture says he was glad, he rejoiced when he saw the grace of God. The grace of God is something that can be seen through the exhibition of it in your life and in mine. Are we where Peter said we should be when he said, "Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Oh, how we love those songs about grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. But wouldn't it be a lot sweeter if there wasn't any confusion in the world about being saved by God's grace? Being saved by God's grace is relatively simple. The book of Acts presents pure New Testament Christianity. If you're wanting to become a Christian, I beg you to read that book. And the examples of conversion, how people simply put their trust in Jesus. They changed their lives in repentance, confessed Christ, and were baptized into him, and the Lord added them to his church. or to his kingdom, you can be added to the church, the kingdom of the Lord today. That spiritual kingdom about which Nancy spoke in one of the Bible study groups, we appeal to you to receive the word of God's grace in your heart today and act upon it as we stand to sing the song of encouragement.
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray that this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast times. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.